listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 15th of June.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
And June 15, a day that will live in...
not each year.
Each year, definitely. That is doomed to repeat each year. We have not done many shows on June 15. Traditionally, it falls in the mid-year break.
Ah.
Which we do enjoy.
Yes.
And have enjoyed.
Getting it as long as possible.
And from my records here, enjoyed over a dozen of them, at least taking June 15 off.
When Haim and I first started... we used to holiday together as well.
Yeah, well, because, before radio, I suppose we did, yeah.
Yeah, and so as, you know, best mates, we're just like always holidaying. And then we started the radio show and we still contemplated in holidays.
Yep.
But we did have that kind of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, well, actually, I think we should holiday apart because I feel like I'm seeing you a lot now.
Yeah.
And there's other things to see.
It was a great move because other people got to see us.
Then we went, well, maybe we do holiday together. Mm. Just bring the old mics.
Yeah, record it.
And I think we've cracked that nut. So in 2005, so the way we put the show together, we got the old run sheets. And the run sheet is the thing from the day that tells you before the show, tells you what reminds you what you might be doing on the show. And so then we just save them afterwards as like a record of what was on the show.
So if you're going to talk about 2005, there's every chance we are filling in for regular hosts in ratings breaks because that was our job
exactly
really.
It was fill-in drive.
Fill-in drive.
So we did 2 weeks of fill-in drive. We don't have the audio.
Oh.
What a bummer. We don't have the audio of those fill-in drive shows.
Mainly because most fill-in shows...
Why would you? Why would you record it? Yeah. It's like going,
filler.
It should be filler show, not fill-in show. It'd be like asking Channel 7, can I get all the angles from the Oz kick at halftime during the grand final? They'd be like, yeah, we don't film that. Oh, why not? That was my son. I'm sure he had a great time, but it's really your responsibility to record it because no one needs a record of it.
Yep.
In the general public. So they would have been stinkers. And I was ready to just, you know, unleash it to go back that far to go. Let's hear some bad stuff.
Mm.
But couldn't get it. Yeah. Don't even know what was on the show.
Okay.
Can't even reference what was on the show. But it said is it logs it as fill in drive. 2005. What a shame. In 2012, on June the 15th, we were in London.
Okay.
We were doing the show from your London lair.
Yes.
While
we did Gap Year and filmed a TV show across Europe. That was good fun in the London lair.
The London lair was really good fun. Mm. Huge show that particular day on June 15. We had just been to the rabbit jumping in Sweden, which is an awesome sport, Mike. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Mm. He's familiar with it. They're like Pokemons, but they're real animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and rabbits.
And they did hurdle. The rabbits would do hurdles,
if
essentially.
They felt like it.
Ours was stubborn, the one that we bought at some expense and put it in the competition. But
did ours absolutely smash it and then stop on the last hurdle?
Yep.
Yeah, he did.
It was like an act of defiance. Don't know what it was protesting against, but to lead us on to jump every single hurdle in front of the crowd, everyone excited, and then get to the last one and just go,
and
no.
And just suddenly not care about the sport, forget about all the sacrifices its parents had made driving it to hurdles jumps in the early morning and give up on us and the sport. Yeah, that was devastating. And also a huge one from the night before. I now am more excited by this than I was at the time. Mm. I'd been out to dinner with my wife the night before and John Hamm had been on the next table.
Yeah, you were excited about that.
Well, Zoe is a huge Mad Men fan and I hadn't watched it at that stage. I only watched it last year.
All right.
Went through the whole season. Now I'm excited that I saw John Hamm in 2012. Back then, he just seemed like a handsome guy.
Retrospective excitement.
Regret that I didn't soak him in more. I'm not a fan of bothering the person at dinner.
But you could have soaked him in.
Could have soaked him in more. I think the greatest gift you can give, you see someone that you think is awesome at dinner, the best gift you can give them that they'll never know about is just letting them eat their dinner.
Yes.
But I wish I'd soaked him in a little more. I may never get the chance to soak him. And I'll never get the chance to soak in 2012 Hamm.
Which is peak Hamm.
Peak Hamm, like freshest Hamm.
Like Christmas time.
Freshest Hamm. Before that, it's raw. Now it's getting a little stale, but he was a Christmas Hamm in 2012 because he was probably at his most handsomest.
Yeah, he was.
Because only
Mad Men was just taking the world by storm.
I think it had just finished in 2012.
And Hamish in classic style has decided to watch something 10 years
later. I've given
it
some time and I'm thinking of hitting I Dream of Jeannie next. I hear it's provocative, fun.
Similar to when you told me that Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette was a great album 10 years after it came
out. I think I told you about 2008. Just getting into Foo Fighters quite a bit now too. Some of their early stuff. It takes time. I'm like the water table. Mm. It just takes time for things to sink down, filter through the earth and get to me.
Yeah.
But when they do, I'll hold on to them forever on the water table.
And you recognise greatness.
Yeah, I filter it out.
Yeah.
I filter it out. That's what the top layers of soil are for. Anyway, so Hamm was soaked and I think we did a thing on the show where for people that were excited by the thought of John Hamm, they could call and ask questions about him that I might remember.
Yeah.
It felt like one of those shows where we were struggling for content, to be honest.
I'd like that.
Yeah, that was good. The early morning, sometimes those early mornings there, because we were doing the drive show from London, which was a 6 o'clock a.m. or 7 o'clock.
7 till 9,
Seven till nine.
It was much better than doing it from New York between 2 and 4 in the morning.
2 and 4, that got a little silly sometimes. In 2016, this is not what I want to talk about, but again, we were on the People's Cruise in 2016 in the middle of the year. All the chat that day on the show seemed to be about the black market T-shirts that we were selling.
Yes.
And I forgot about this, but we made T-shirts of me surfing you that said
no,
surf's
you,
up.
You made a T-shirt of you surfing me.
Yep. It said surf's up. And they were I've still got mine. They were hot property, right? Yeah. People loved the surf's up T-shirts. Yeah. I forgot the reason they were black market is because it was illegal to sell anything on the boat.
You can't sell anything on a cruise ship.
Can't sell anything on a cruise ship. You can't, which makes sense because they've gone to a big effort to get you there as a captive audience and that's how the cruise ship makes their money.
And if you set up your own pizza shop.
if you set up your cabin as a jewellery shop, they're not selling anything to their jewellery shop. Yeah. So we had a 10-minute, remember we had like a 10-minute furious black market window on like B deck.
Yep.
We go, meet us at the emergency at the muster point at B deck.
Yep.
At like 10 p.m.
Bring cash only.
Bring cash. And it was just like a flurry.
Yeah.
It was like, it was just this wild flurry of just illegal black, just flurries of 50s changing hands and t-shirts.
And then the next day on the cruise, you might see someone wearing it with a little nod. You go, well done.
Captain never suspected.
I'm glad you didn't pull audio, but. Because there's a certain day on the cruise ship that I'm hoping comes up in the future for us that I want to use the open.
I think I know what you mean and let's save our remembering for that. Yep. But I do remember Andy and I, we got so excited at the concept of black market T-shirts that we just had this moment, Mike, where we went back to our cabin and we had all this money and we put it on the bed and we swam in it.
And then
we went, we better give this to charity. So we did. I think we gave it to the Starlight Foundation. But for a second, we just felt like absolute black market lords.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
international waters. It really made it feel even more exciting.
Yeah, I think we panicked to go if pirates come on board. they're definitely heading to us first. Here's what I've landed on as my pick of the June 15s across the years. Mm-hmm. In 2017, Andy by Hamish had been floated.
Great.
I had tricked you into signing the contract. Mm-hmm. I had secured what I needed legally from you to launch the world's first ever non-consensual celebrity fragrance. Mm. Although legally I had you with the contract, so you had.
I wouldn't say legally because I think it's I think that would be an interesting court case. But I must admit, when you launched a cologne with my face and likening without telling me and had done a deal behind my back.
Well, the deal had been done and I just needed to trick you into signing a piece of paper that I had a stencil over so you couldn't see the contract.
And you told me live on air, it did take of a lot of the ideas we have. I'm like, jump, yeah, let's do it. This one did take a while to compute at the time. I was going, I don't want it, but I was like, I don't think I want this at all.
It's good for you, mate.
But we
eat your greens. They're good for you.
We are now obviously doing this because it's happened on air and there's been a lot of work behind the scenes.
And you've signed the contract. Well. And so at that stage, I think you'd come around by the stage by June 15th.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure what we're about to hear, but I've got an inkling. Tell me what you remember. Mm. So what I've got listed here is you'd come back with some demands. That's all I've got, okay? Your Andy's demands.
Yeah, well, I said I'd do it, I think, and I said I'd do it under these conditions.
I think it was something like this. And so up until this point in the journey, I'd said, look, you know, the fragrance is coming.
Yep.
You know, you've signed on, it's in the contract, you have to give me in it, you have to pose for an image. I need you for marketing activities. We do own your name. We do own your likeness. I think I gave you 51% of the company.
Yeah.
Pretty nice of me. Mm. I'd done the deal with Chemist Warehouse. Mm-hmm. You normally like to be involved in the money side of things. I'd had to do that behind your back.
Yes.
I don't know if we ever talked about this on air, but when the Chemist Warehouse guys were like, well, what's the deal? I said, look, I don't care. Just get it in stores. Mm-hmm. And then I said, if Andy was here, he'd care about the deal. I said, so
just give us a good one.
And I said, talking to the heads of Chemist Warehouse, I went, can I just be honest with you? What did Delta get for her? What percentage? What did Delta get for her fragrance? And then they go, you know, is this much? I went, just give us, we have 0.5% more than that. Because he said, great. If I tell Andy we've got more than Delta, he just would not want to know that we've got beaten by Delta. So that had all been done. But at this stage, it's just been like, yeah, you're right. It'd been an overload. You'd just been swamped with all these things that were happening. And I think what we're about to hear after Mike does his excellent sponsor work, we're about to hear is you returning fire, I think. But Mike, first, let's hear from the sponsor.
Yes, okay.
Great, Mike.
Okay, let's hear Andy. I want to go back to Andy's.
I would have been.
It absorbed some body blows, and now it was time.
Might have been the next day, or even a couple of days after, because it did take me a while to take a lead, even on the drive home. And then I was like, no, okay, this is the return fire.
The 15th of June, 2017.
Hey, we are talking about the fragrance that you've created using my name, and the hope to use my face for that.
Contractually, you are obliged to provide me with one photo.
And look, you did encourage me to sign a contract unseen, which I did, so I'm happy to honour the contract.
But you're excited now at standing at the brink of becoming a household name and having now the big news, if people just tuned in, 15,000.
No.
So therefore millions of squirts of Andy by Hamish will be spread across this nation. The impact you're going to have on people's lives, that's incredible. What a great feeling.
I look forward to seeing them in bargain bins everywhere in about a year's time.
This is not ambassador talk, and you are contractually obliged to try your hardest to be a good brand ambassador, may I remind you.
I'll do my best, my very best, in bold, to be an outstanding ambassador for the fragrance.
I mean, when do you hear Heidi Klum go, I look forward to this being in bargain bins?
But I'm not out there.
But you're already the ambassador.
No. There'll be ambassador duties, but at the moment you and I are talking about this and getting it all straight.
You can't.
Well, we don't.
Calvin Klein doesn't go, hey, Emily Ratajkowski, come and be the Calvin Klein model. Then she walks outside and burns the undies and goes, I hate these rags.
But she also doesn't discuss the contract on air, does she? And Pope.
So you're saying she does that where we just don't know about it?
No. All my point is there's got to be a point where, yes, I'm being an ambassador, but to talk this out through with you, I need to be able to have these honest conversations.
Can I ask, then, as the head of logistics and marketing for the Andy by Hamish Corporation, that we just put a lid on the old want to see this in bargain bin chat before the product's even launched?
Yes.
Thank you.
You can ask that.
You're beautiful, but I love you. You drive me nuts.
Okay, I acknowledge I will try my best. I'll try my best to do a good job for the photo shoot.
Yeah, because I know you can do a good job and I know you're capable
I'll
of a good
try
job.
Because obviously I don't want to be doing this. So
that's
try.
Pretty generous for me to have put that language in there to give you what I was doing there is a classic coach's move to go, I know you can do it, Ando. Why don't you impress me?
It also says that I'll grant you 3 marketing wishes. Is the photo shoot one of the wishes?
That's separate.
Okay. That's probably fair.
Because I separated them out.
That's the way it reads. So then I thought, okay, well, if you're going to pretend I'm a model, I will also.
Well, you're the face of the. You are the face of the fragrance.
I'll pretend I'm a model straight back to you.
Yeah. And well, so you did make a pretty serious demand yesterday, which I don't think has ever happened in the modeling world. You said on yesterday's show, you're going to give me one photo.
One photo.
Not one photo to pick from a series of photos that I get done at the photo shoot, but one shot, one kill for the photo. What if you're blinking? I mean, I was up all night thinking about this photo. I've got some demands. Not demands, but I got some information for you for the photo shoot.
Well, my point is,
I'll take the photo.
Make sure your team.
No, it'll be me taking the photo. I have assistance and lighting, but I'm going to have to take it. I can't put that pressure on a photographer.
Gosh, that's such a bad idea. But do what you want.
What photographer would sign up for that? They wouldn't put their name to it
as a demand. This is what this model demands. If the shoot is on location.
Yep.
I'll require a private jet to and from if it's interstate or international.
Good news for you is I think I'm doing it around the corner in the studio.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know that.
That's fine because I'll try and pass on a lot of these costs to Chemist Warehouse.
Okay. All ground transfers will be by limousine.
Should we serve the number from that limo we used the other night, Jay? Steve?
The one that crashed.
He'll have got it fixed by now. That's his lifeline. That's his livelihood.
Yeah, we've got it.
Yeah, no sweat, mate. I mean, you're a model. We've got to look after you. I want you to be in the right mood for the shoot.
If it's the morning, a bacon and egg roll will be inside the limousine.
Mate, now you're talking my language. Yeah. I'll take care of, don't you worry about that. I'll be taking care of snacks. And that you can. I can promise you I'll be charging that back to CW.
If it's the afternoon, 4 beers will be available at 3 degrees Celsius.
Tell you what, mate.
No warmer.
I'll give you 2 bacon and egg rolls in the morning and a beer if you want them. Probably be morning. I think you're fresher in the morning.
If the shoot clashes with a major sporting event, the game must be shown on set.
It's one photo. I think we could probably. Yep, we can do that. Okay. Happy to do that for you, Andy. We acknowledge that you're lending us your sweet face and cheekbones to move a dirt load of product.
Andy will be on set for a total of 10 minutes.
That I cannot give you. We need half an hour.
But only one photo is allowed to be taken.
We're only going to take one photo. Can we have you at the venue, as in green room, makeup?
Yes.
Can we have you there for an hour, but we'll only have you on the actual set, the actual bit where you're under the lights for 10 minutes?
40 minutes at the venue, which gives you half an hour of preparation.
Okay.
And then 10 minutes on
to
set. To get the shot.
Look, I can work with that. I'll have it pre-lit. Want you to know from my perspective.
Do you have an idea of the concept yet?
I thought I'd get people. People have been emailing in with a few different ideas of the concept. There's only so much we can do because it's sort of neck and shoulders to the crown of your head.
Sign off on all concepts.
Input into concept. That is where you don't. This is, mate, you're the model. You're the model. You're the meat. You're the meat puppet. I'm the master. Sorry, mate. Welcome to the industry. I'm going to churn you up, spit you out, use you to move tons of volume.
If you do the others, I'll concede that.
Cheers. Tell you what though, it says going to be outrageous. The catering, where do you see it? I'm going to blow tons because I think in the contract that I signed on our behalf, the real one with Chemist Warehouse, I think they cover the cost of this shoot.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go to town on it. And then I might even just invite some celebs to hang out. Like, you know, in New York where there's always like celebs, like just other models in Kim Kardashian shoots.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just going to be an open invite.
Yeah, like that Didier guy, whatever his name is.
You can get models.
Yeah. And whoever other than who else is Australian famous model?
This thing, it's going to look
Chris
like
Chris Smith, I suppose.
Let's get Chris Smith to just hang out at the shoot and eat some grapes. You're going to love it.
We actually ended up doing the.
I was just remembering we did the opposite.
The next day.
Do you know what we did at the shoot? Have you ever seen any footage of the shoot?
Yeah, you had that Italian DJ guy.
We had an elderly DJ and a
snake handler and fire twirlers. Yeah, yeah.
The next day I got nervous that if there were hot models there that I would lose confidence. So I asked Hamish to bring in ugly models.
I booked a bunch of, you know, very normal looking guys to walk around with their tops off, just dad bods and tops off, so Andy would feel
confident.
Were they like with an agency?
It was a difficult ask. It was quite an interesting, like tactful way of going.
Some ugly guys?
Who would you have that's not classically handsome?
It was exciting. We didn't realise how many people would get behind Andy by Hamish, and it did sell out very, very quickly.
The concept, the
concept, I'm so glad with what we went with. Just the casual, the smart casual man, because it was a smart casual fragrance. So you would dress smart casually. You had
holding
your trumpet.
A, holding a trumpet.
Had your trumpet casually.
But hiding the hunter behind my back.
Because it's like, oh, who's this guy? What? Okay, there's more to this guy than meets the eye. I think I see a bit of trumpet.
And holding a beer.
Holding a pint. A pint, a trumpet, a smart casual man. Yeah. And
of course it flew off the shelves. Look, and only recently did Mario from Chemist Warehouse, who I bumped into at a football event, said to me.
Owner of Chemist Warehouse.
Yep. He said.
Mike. Little nod from Mike.
he said, hey, just so you know, the VB cologne is now the most successful. But up until that one came out, Andy by Hamish was.
What a bummer.
I think he was trying. He goes, well, you should re-release. I think he's basically trying to make money and trying to force a bit of competition.
Oh,
but
yeah,
we said,
absolutely.
We'll be right.
Michael Klim also relentlessly behind the scenes kept trying to go, why don't we make it a big battle between the two fragrances?
Mm. Well, we already had our nemesis. Remember we had a go at David Beckham.
Relentless. By invitation? Whose was by invitation? Is that Bublé's?
That was
invitation only.
By invitation by Michael Bublé. I can't remember what.
God, there was a lot of big hitters at the time in the fragrance game that we.
Beckham's called Respect or something?
Yeah. Was it called
Respect? Yeah.
Can you Google
that,
Mike?
Yeah, sure.
David Beckham. And we called it
Disrespect. For launching at the same time as us.
And we really said some stuff that was cut and dry slander.
Yep, it was called Respect.
Yep,
we
it
did
was
not,
absolute.
We called
no
it.
Two ways about it. It was libel, and then, they just asked us to stop saying that stuff on air.
We did get a note from the company.
I think we got carried away saying stuff like it will absolutely burn your skin and poison you. Like, I think we were just complete.
Yes.
Like
so,
flat out lying.
So the makers
you couldn't
of the,
argue that it was satire. It was just lies to bring down a competitor.
Yeah, and not David Beckham himself because he wouldn't have no idea. What
I don't think
it,
he would even know he has a fragrance.
No, but whoever was doing his fragrance, the company behind it did reach out to us
and just
legally
highlighted a few of the things that we'd said on air. And when you read them in black and white, you go, "Yeah, I can see how you would certainly have an issue with that being the messaging."
Mate, remembering.
Listener.